when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. Isaiah 61, then you want to go over to Luke chapter 4. And then we're going to end in the book of Acts chapter 10. Can I read a little bit of the scripture this morning to you? Amen. My words won't change you. It's the word of God, hearing the word of God, that will change you, transform your mind, give you faith when you hear it. How many know when you hear the word of the Lord, it should bring faith? Faith comes by hearing, and somebody help me quote this. Hearing by the what? When you hear God speak to you. Somebody said, God never speaks to me. How much do you read your Bible? In other words, God speaks to the 66 books that are in this leather Bible. Mine's leather. Amen. And I want you to know that God wants to speak to us. How many believe that? Amen. Isaiah 61, Luke chapter 4, and then we're going to the book of Acts chapter 10. For the reading of the word of God, I want to start off in verse 1 through 4 in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah says, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ in prophetic word that he gave, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. How many love the contrast? He says, those that don't have no joy, I'm going to replace their heartache and pain and their mourning and weeping with joy. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Amen. And how many of us know God's a God that can restore to his people the joy of the salvation in their God? Amen. I don't know about you, but if you can't be happy about knowing that God saved you, then I want to wonder if you're really saved by the grace of God. Amen. Because those that know that they're saved from sin, they have a voice to proclaim, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How many are glad that Jesus Christ saved them? He says, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, verse 3, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what some of us brought in here today, is a spirit of heaviness. You carried a lot of weights on in here, but I want to let you know you can leave a little lighter, amen, out of the house of God. There's some things that are weighing you down that life has brought upon you, the cares of this life, the financial, the physical, issues in your family, issues in your marriage, issues on the job. I don't know what it may be, but amen. Can I tell you, it tends to weigh us down. The Bible says, the garment of praise, verse 3, for the spirit of heaviness. Can I tell you, that's why a lot of people can't praise and worship God, because they're too heavy. They're weighted down. They don't have any hope. They're discouraged all the time. You know, there's a big difference between being happy and laughing every now and then, but having a true joy down in your heart is something altogether different from just being happy. I could write you out a $1,000 check. You'd get a smile today and be happy. But after you pay just one bill, amen, or two bills, it's all gone, and now you got to frown. Glory be to God. How many of us know money ain't going too far today? And everything's going up, but our salaries, glory be to God. Amen. I just figured I'd throw that in there, because I tell you, the financial burdens, the heaviness of what we owe the creditors, what we owe on the mortgages and the taxes and the fuel. And how many of us know that's a heavy load to carry? I've seen a lot of people come to me as a pastor and as a business owner and say, oh, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. Boy, it's so easy to say that until you're the one that's responsible to write the checks out. Until you're the one that has the load and responsibility of so many that depend on you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a heaviness that comes on you. But can I tell you, when we come into this house, this is a place where we can cast off the garments of heaviness, the things that are upon us. I don't know about you, but amen, I don't like staying under anything heavy. I don't like feeling constricted. The Bible says that if you can put on the garment of praise. Can I tell you what sometimes you got to do when you come in here? Despite you may be going through a lot of problems and issues, you might have a lot of cares, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of issues in your life. You can still glorify God. You can still thank God. The songwriter said it this way, count your blessings, what? One by one. Look around. You've got a roof over your head. You've got food in your cupboards. Amen. At least I hope you do. And if you don't, let the church know, and we'll make sure you get some food in the house. Amen. You've got, come on now, some of us got warm homes. I left the house this morning. It was 75 in there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Amen. Fireplace is working great, but I can just tell you this. There's a lot of things that I worry about, but there's something I don't worry about. I know my Heavenly Father is going to take good care of His own. How many believe it? Amen? So you don't have to be heavy. Put on the garment of praise, verse 3, for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Can I tell you, God is glorified. Amen. When you are one that can testify of the goodness of the Lord and glorify God for all. How many of us know God's been good to us? Verse 4, and they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations. A work of restoration here. Not just speaking of the natural, although in the Old Testament the prophet was speaking of cities being restored. There's a spiritual meaning here. He's speaking of a nation, the children of Israel, how they were scattered, how they were broken, how they were desolate. Just going to read it again. And they shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations. There's nothing more than I like seeing an old beat up car or an old home or an old beat up historic building where they want to tear it down or throw it in the junkyard. And there's nothing more than I like seeing somebody that has the ability to go in and bring a work of restoration to something that's been wasted, something that's old, something that others would disregard. I love to see, amen, the man that has a heart to restore. restore, amen, his favorite vehicle and tear it right down to the frame and go ahead and sandblast it and build it all back up and with all the original parts and do a work of restoration. But what's in the eye of that man when he first looks at it? That's just a hunk of junk. See, and that's the way God looks at the lives of men. A house that somebody's going to tear down. God's one that looks at us, and we may be that old broken down car, that old broken down house. But when God sees us, he says, don't just tear it down. Let me work this again. Let me do a new thing. Let me bring a work of restoration. How many of us know that our God is not a God that just throws things away, but he brings restoration. Amen. And he can bring it back to being new again. This is what God is saying about the lives of his people. He says, I'm going to build up the old waste places. And I'm going to raise up the former desolations. And they shall be the repair of the waste cities, the cities that were desolate for many generations. Luke chapter 4, this is the ministry of Christ here. Luke chapter 4, we should all know this, where Christ comes. He came to Nazareth, his hometown. Amen. Nazareth, if you notice in the Bible, they describe you when they would bring up someone like the prophet Elijah, for instance. Elijah the Tishbite. In the Old Testament and throughout the scripture, they would always call your name and relate you to where you're from. How many of us know people still do that today? They'll know your name and they'll say, where are you from? What city were you born in? What state were you born in? And you can tell a lot about an individual by where they're from, what country they're from, what state they're from, what is their background, what is their pedigree, what is their family tree. Jesus was from a little old no-name town that was barely on the map. How many have ever been on a map? And back in the day, now we got the GPS phones and we don't need maps. But I remember reading maps. How many were map readers when they traveled? And you got your little fingernail and you're trying to figure out the turns. And amen. I remember years ago, my father-in-law, he'd get out the map and put the glasses on, and we've traveled together, and he'd sit back and look at that thing, and amen. Now we got just GPSs. How many of us know God is good? Amen. When they work right, glory be to God. Amen. But that old trustworthy map, it would take you to where you needed to go. There's some places that are hardly even on the map. Nazareth in this day was a place that was, amen, really not recognized as anything good coming out of a place called Nazareth. I mean, it's crazy to think that the Savior of the world, the Messiah, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not altogether. Many relate him as being from Jerusalem, but no, he grew up in a small little town called Nazareth. I mean, they even said it many times. I mean, what comes out of Nazareth? I mean, and so when you think of the Old Testament, you think of the New Testament, most men are related to where they came from or their lineage and their father and their family tree, and they would draw you back to where you were born, and typically it would be the country or the city, and they could tell a lot about your background and how you were raised by simply where you grew up. And when Luke begins to write about Jesus, we see this here in verse 16. He came to Nazareth. This is the place where Jesus grew up. They all knew him. They were very familiar with Jesus. His mother Mary, Joseph at this time, his earthly father. Amen. Not his father, but his earthly father, the husband of Mary, the one that it was the father of his siblings. How many know Jesus had brothers and sisters? Natural brothers and sisters. So they were very familiar with Jesus. And Nazareth was a no-name place. I mean, what is there anything good that comes out of that old town? I mean, where is it even on the map? But how many of us know, amen, God can bring good things out of no-name places? God is a God that is not, his ways are not like man's ways, amen. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. We think a king should be coming from some prestigious city that should have all types of accolades and all types of notoriety. But amen, Nazareth, this place, is hardly even, I mean, this is just somewhere where we don't even know hardly where it is, and nobody even goes there. And it was the custom, verse 16, amen, that he went into the synagogue. So Jesus comes into Nazareth on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Amen. He goes back to the verse of scripture that we just read out of Isaiah 61. And that day in church, as it was the custom for them to go into the synagogue, how many believe that's a good custom? That's a good tradition. Not all traditions are bad. It is good to frequent the house of God. Christ even made this a practice. When he came into his hometown of Nazareth, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what we just read out of Isaiah 61, is what he was reading out of. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because, why is the Spirit of the Lord come upon me? Jesus is identifying the purpose of being endued with this Spirit, the Spirit of God. How many of us know that without the Spirit of God, as a believer, you will not have any power? Amen. Just like the body without the Spirit is dead. How many have ever laid and seen a coffin? They're not breathing, and they're just seeing that dead body in that coffin, and there is no life, there is no spirit. But can I tell you, if the church, if the people of God are going to understand the importance of being born again and having the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Christ recognized the importance of this Spirit because he hath what? Verse 18, anointed me. Understand that the anointing is not just oil that we rub on somebody's head. Although in the Old Testament it has the word of smearing, it has the thought of when David had the horn poured by Samuel the prophet to be anointed of king of Israel. That anointing was symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God being poured out on the life of a man. So as that oil ran down the head of Aaron in Psalm 133, it speaks of that oil that comes down his face, goes down to his beard, and it covers all of his garments. Amen. They just didn't put a little couple drops on him in the Old Testament. They literally poured it out on. I mean, you imagine some prophet coming up to you and said, David, you're going to be anointed king, taking a horn, which is probably a good portion, at least maybe a half gallon, maybe a gallon of oil that's dumped on your head. Come on now, somebody. Amen. It gets a little bit messy, but this was symbolic of the Spirit of God being poured up on the Lord Jesus Christ for this purpose. He needed the Spirit of God to be anointed. That Spirit is the manifest presence of God. That is what manifests the power of God, is the Spirit of God on David. And now Jesus, if he needed that anointed, amen, we also need that Spirit poured out upon our life. Why? Why did he need the anointing? To preach the gospel to the poor. How many of us know you need to be anointed to preach? I've heard a lot of preachers preach, but they're not all anointed. Sorry. Amen. I've heard some dead preachers. I've seen some dead congregations too. And I've had to go over and check their pulse every now and then when I'm preaching to make sure they're still alive. Amen, somebody. I don't believe the true church of Jesus Christ that have been, have the Spirit of God poured out up in them, and they have eternal life and the Holy Spirit of God in them. They're not dead. I believe anything that is alive every now and then will blink its eyes. The true church of Jesus Christ is alive. Can you say amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice, the anointing came for preaching first. A lot of preachers get it backwards. They think that they're anointed of the Holy Spirit to heal first. They're there to do all these miracles, signs, and wonders. But the anointing is for preaching first. Can you say amen? You need the anointing in your life if you're going to preach the gospel. You need more than just intellectual knowledge. You need more than just knowing the scriptures. That is part of preaching. God gets no glory out of an ignorant preacher that does not study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to listen to a preacher that knows what he's talking about. I don't want just some rambling on preacher that, amen, is jumping here and there, and we got enough storytellers today standing behind the pulpit. I don't need a story. Every now and then I need to hear what the word is saying. I need to hear a word from God, because faith doesn't come from you telling me a story. Amen. It might help my faith, but what builds my faith is hearing God speak to me through his word, and now faith arises in me because I hear what the Spirit is speaking into my heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is the ministry of Christ here on the earth. To preach what? Deliverance. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever go into a church and they are not following after this, this is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. If you got some church services to where they hardly do any preaching and all they want to do is worship, maybe read sometimes one scripture and then get right to praying for people. But I'm going to tell you something. We see here a pattern. Now, I'm not going to sit here and hold anybody's feet to the fire and say that you absolutely, but I'm going to tell you something. There is something about preaching the word, amen, and it begins to do something in the hearts of those that hear it. How many of us know the word has power? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides asunder, it reveals of that which is of the soul and that which is the spirit. If a man really knows how to handle the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he will not butcher a people, but he will understand the importance of what a surgeon does. He doesn't just go in and hack somebody's body up and pull a tumor out, but he systematically knows exactly where to cut. He knows exactly where, how to use the word skillfully. We got a lot of preachers today that are butchers. They don't know how to skillfully preach the word. Amen. And what we need to understand it is that Christ has given us the word of God to the church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need fun and games, and we don't need all of these programs, and we don't need all of, I'm going to tell you, the church has got to get back to preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, for this gospel of the kingdom of heaven shall be what? Preached into all the nations of the world, and then and only then shall the end come. How many of us know we've got to preach the word? We got to preach the word. We need to preach the word to the broken. We need to preach that you don't have to be bound, but you can be delivered. And I'm preaching to the captives, he says. Deliverance to the captives. We're still in verse 18. And recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. To what? Preach, verse 19, the acceptable year of the Lord. Acts 10, 36 through 38, moving along quickly now. I'm going to add in context here, verse 36 through 38. This is the same writer. How many of us know that Luke also wrote the book of Acts? Amen. And he was a great man of God. Acts 10 and 38. And let's go to 36 first. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. This is Acts 10 and 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching. Somebody say, preach the word, pastor. The word which was God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of what? All. That word, somebody say the word. I say, ye know which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus. of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In this verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good. Who went about doing good. Who went about doing good. Christ came to do me good. He didn't come to do you dirty. The devil and people will do you dirty. Family members will do you dirty. Your ex-husband will do you dirty. Your ex-wife tried to do you dirty. Some of your children, amen, they'll do you dirty. This world sometimes will do you nothing but dirty. They don't look for your best interest. A lot of people actually want to see you fail. They want to see you fall. Christ and his ministry started off with a supernatural birth. Oh yeah, he testified already. The angels actually and the choir from heaven announced to the shepherds. You remember? They said, today in the city of what? Bethlehem. A Savior has been born. We just went through the Christmas season, and amen, I'm going to get to where I need to go, but you've got to understand, when you preach the gospel, you can't just leave him, I told you, in the manger. Amen. He had a purpose to come to this earth to do one thing, and that was to die up on the cross for the sins of the world. Amen. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I don't know about you, but when I think about God not forgetting about me and allowing me to go my own way, amen, I'm a nobody. You may look at yourself as a nobody, but in the eyes of God, we are somebody. Can I tell you, you are valuable to God. It doesn't matter if your mother and father have forsaken you, if your family members have forsaken you, if your closest loved ones don't want anything to do with you. We serve a God. Hallelujah. I believe the word of the Lord says it this way. When my mother and father, amen, they forsake me, when they do me dirty, when they don't, come on now, amen, the Lord will take me up. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I thank God today that I have a heavenly Father that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's one thing you can be sure about God. He will never leave you stranded on the side of the road, but he'll always be there, amen, when nobody else seems to care. Can you say amen? I appreciate the love of God, that he loved me enough to save me. Can you say amen? As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.